BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Islam is growing all around the world. Here in the United States, Islam is being promoted in our education system. Corporate America is making special provisions, grocery stores and restaurants offering halal food. In addition, we see over the past several years a building boom of mosques that has been occurring. Muslims who follow the dictates of Islam are deceived. They're deceived into believing that they are on the right path when in reality, they're on a pathway that leads to destruction. Our guest today was born and raised in a Muslim family in Iran. Through a series of events, he traveled to Sydney, Australia in 2006 with a work and holiday visa. A co-worker invited him to church where he was witnessed to, and this led to his placing his trust in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, August 29th of 2009. He was on Crosstalk April 30th, 2019, and I invite you to go back and listen to his testimony on that program, crosstalkamerica.com, or call here to obtain a CD. But our guest studied theology in Australia. He began ministering to Farsi-speaking people, and many Muslims have come to Christ through this outreach. In 2017, our guest came to the United States where he preaches and records sermons. And through the miracle of technology of satellite TV and radio, his broadcasts are heard in many Muslim nations. It's his desire, his heart's desire, that Muslims come to faith in Jesus Christ. His name is Michael Gearmey, and he's back with us today addressing how to win Muslims to Christ. Michael, good to have you with us in our studio.
Good to be here.
Michael, if you would, first of all, just describe for us the burden that's on your heart to see Muslims come to saving faith of Jesus Christ.
Obviously, as a Christian, we all should have burden for lost souls, and Muslims are the same as other people, lost souls, and we all have sin nature, and we've sinned against God, and we need salvation, which is found in Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, when I got saved and I had this deep burden for my fellow countrymen, women, Iranians, to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I wanted to travel to Iran to reach them, but I realized that I'm not going to be able to do that because as a Christian, if you go back to Iran, you'll be persecuted and put to death because that's what Islam teaches, that as a Christian, you are called an infidel, and as an infidel, you'll be killed. So I prayed, I said, Lord, would you help me that one day that I could preach the gospel through media, that many Iranians can hear the gospel. So I prayed, and after 8 years of praying, the Lord answered my prayer, and now here am I in the States and preaching the gospel, and I've seen people coming to Christ, and they contact me through Skype and different media means, and I've been able to disciple them one-on-one. And in fact, an hour ago, I had discipleship Bible study online, so the Lord has been blessing it, and souls have come to Christ.
Praise the Lord. You know firsthand the power of deception. You know firsthand, because many years you were deceived by Islam. How powerful is that deception?
It's so powerful. It's a stronghold because Islam has a lot of things in common with Christianity. Muslims believe in God who created the universe and everything, and he is going to judge all the nations and all people. So they believe in judgment day. They believe in angels and hell and heaven. They believe that righteous people will be rewarded. So there are a lot of similarities between Islam and Christianity, and they have a lot of teachings from the Bible. So that's very deceptive. There is partial truth in Islam, but there's no total, complete truth. And that's so deceptive.
Indeed, and we'll be getting more into that today. But as one witnesses to Muslims, as you witness to Muslims, how important, how great a role of does prayer have in that? How critical is prayer in this process?
Well, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Mm. So in the flesh, we can reach Muslims by taking revenge and killing them. So we need to pray for Muslims. We are in a spiritual battle, and Satan has deceived them eventually, and only by prayer, by praying for Muslims and giving them the truth, because truth exposes the lies of Islam. So we need to tell them who the truth is and who Jesus Christ is, and pray for them and show the love of Jesus Christ that they might know the truth.
There are those who advocate that Islam means peace. Does it? Is that the meaning of Islam? Does it mean peace?
Islam means actually surrender. And the Muslims and Arabs, they started invading countries after countries, and there were two options. They had to either surrender to Islam by force to be a Muslim or to be killed. So Islam, there is no peace. And in first 100 years of Islam, in 7th century, Arabs invaded so many countries, and they started 120 battles in 100 years. Hmm. 120 battles.
Wow.
So they spread everywhere. They went to as far as Europe, to France, and they everywhere, forcing people to convert to Islam. So there is no peace, obviously. Hmm. It's spread by war and battle, by killing of men and raping women and taking girls as captives and booty.
Michael, there is so much to know about Islam. Is it important for people to have a basic understanding of what Islam is and what Islam teaches?
Absolutely. Well, if you want to reach Muslims, you need to know what they believe. You need to know the teachings of Islam to be able to well-equipped to reach them.
Mm-hmm. Many wonder, what is the starting point? How do I begin witnessing to someone who has been so ingrained in the deception of Islam? What is that starting point?
Well, Pastor Keith Piper and I developed a six-step to reach Muslims. And the first step is the major errors in the Quran. And because as a Muslim, like, you believe in God and Creator, and you believe in Judgment Day. So what they have been taught is just Islam and the Quran. Well, to know the truth, because there are so many religions in the world, there are so many different religious books. But how do you know that which one is truth? Are they all the same? Obviously, they're not the same, because their teachings are so different. For example, in Buddhist, you don't have heaven or hell. You're going to reincarnate, you're going to come back to this earth again after life in another form. In Islam and Christianity, we have hell and heaven. So obviously, you see the religions are not the same. They have some common teachings, but not the same. So how do we know that who's truth? Well, first of all, you need to examine the founder of that religion and also his teachings. Well, if you examine the life of Jesus Christ and his testimony, he went about doing good and healing people and the sick people. He did marvelous job. And Jesus said, which of you convinced me of sin? He had no sin. Nobody can accuse him of his sin. And Pontius Pilate said, I'm going to wash my hand from this man's blood. You know, his blood be upon you. And so nobody could accuse him of sin. He had good testimony. And his teachings, you examine his teachings, it's just full of love. And you have a lot of scientific proofs and that the Bible is the word of God. But when you examine the life of Muhammad and his teachings, he didn't have a good testimony because, he didn't have right testimony. He had so many wives and he had polygamous life himself and killed so many people. And Jesus never killed anybody. He healed and he raised people from the dead. So that's the difference between the teachings of Jesus Christ and his life and also teachings of Muhammad and his life. So if you examine the Quran, you'll see that there are many issues there.
You know, what's interesting in all of that, Muslims will say, though, the Bible is corrupted. They will say that the Bible has changed. And that they will attest that they say that the Quran has been preserved. How do you respond to that?
Well, I have taught a lesson on that. Is the Bible corrupted? They always say that the Bible is corrupted, but Quran is not corrupted. So that's why I start my witnessing with. I start with major errors in the Quran. And I have a lesson that you can go to my website, which is the Bible corrupted? The Quran teaches that the Bible is not corrupted. Allah gave Torah to Moses, Injil, which is the gospel, to Jesus, and Psalm to David. So in 650 AD, Quran teaches that the Bible was not corrupted till then. And so Muslims say that the Bible is corrupted. You ask them, when was it corrupted? Or they usually say in first or second century or third century, the Catholics corrupted it. So it's corrupted like before Islam. Well, according to Quran, they're telling you a lie, because Quran says that it's not corrupted. And Bible tells us that God is going to preserve his word from this generation forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the nations. Then the end shall come. Jesus taught this. And so he said that it's not going to be corrupted. That means there has to be the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. You have to have the Bible to preach before the end of the world. That's what Jesus said. And he faithfully preserved his word through different means, through his faithful disciples, through his faithful believers. So but the Quran is corrupted. And I start with first step, which is the major errors in the Quran. So first thing I ask them, I ask Muslim, I tell them, you know the sun in the sky? Do you believe that sun sets every afternoon in a spring of black, muddy, hot water? Is it true or false? First, they don't get it. And I repeat that again. I say, you know the sun in the sky? Do you believe that sun sets every afternoon in a spring of black, muddy, hot water? Is that true or false? Well, they say usually it's false, because it's impossible for sun to set in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. So I asked them to read the Quran chapter 18, Surah Kahf, and verse 83 to 86, which says, and they ask you about Dhul Qarnayn. Dhul Qarnayn was a person. Some say that he was the Alexander the Great, or some say the Cyrus the Great, but doesn't matter. He was just a person. Say, I shall recite you something of his story. Verily, we established him in the earth. Verily means truly. We, that's Allah, established him, Dhul Qarnayn, in the earth, and we gave him the means of everything. So he followed the way. Dhul Qarnayn followed the way. He walked through to the west. Until when he reached the setting place of the sun, he found it. He found the sun setting in a spring of black, muddy, or hot water. And he found near it a people. So I asked them, you see that Dhul Qarnayn, he walked toward the west and he found a setting place of the sun. The first of all, I asked them, where is the setting place of the sun? Is that Milwaukee? Is that New York? Is that London or Sydney? Where is the setting place of the sun? Well, Quran teaches that it's spring of black, muddy, hot water.
Wow, wow. Interesting. We're going to pick up right after the break. Michael Gurmi is our guest here today on Crosstalk, How to Win Muslims to Christ, and pointing out the errors, the contradictions that are in the Quran itself. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have scientists finally solved the mystery of the origin of life?
No, they haven't, Chris. And many of their claims reveal their desperate state. Recently, a simple microbe was discovered around a deep-sea volcanic vent. It was totally unique, and it was hoped that this microbe would tell us something about the origin of life. But now that this microbe has been well studied, it was found not to be primitive at all. It is equally complex as many of the microbes alive today, and could not be considered an ancestor of any of them. And that's the point we can learn. Even the simplest living things are unimaginably complex. Each is different from the other, and yet each bears the signature of having been created by a very intelligent designer. None of these got here through random evolution. They were created by an intelligent creator back in Genesis.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Michael Girmay is with us today on the program. He was born in Iran into a Shia Muslim family, found faith in Jesus Christ, now a Persian missionary proclaiming the gospel to Islamic nations. And we're talking today about how to win Muslims to Christ. And he's got multiple steps here, but that first step is pointing out some of the errors and contradictions that are in the Quran.
So we continue with major error in the Quran. And so Dhul-Qarnayn found the setting place of the sun. He found it setting in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. So that was the place where sun set. And, this is a big mistake. And, usually Muslims say that, no, it's not a literal. It's figurative or metaphorical. So it appeared to Dhul-Qarnayn that sun was setting in a spring of black mud, but it didn't happen. So I asked them, can you show me a figurative word in that passage? There's no figurative word like as or like. Mm-hmm. You know, Dhul-Qarnayn was a literal person. He followed a literal way. He saw a literal sun setting in a literal place of the sun, which was a literal spring of black, muddy, hot water. So there's no figurative word there. That means it's literal. And it says, verily we established, truly. And at the end of the verse, it says in 90, verse 91, so it was. That means it happened, actually. Sun was setting in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. This is not figurative. And actually, if you read hadith, you need to go back to hadith to see what's the interpretation of this passage. So Muslims have a lot of ideas. They usually say this is figurative. And I met Muhammad Elahi, who was an imam, who's an imam in North Carolina. Last week I met with him and I debated with him. And he said this is metaphorical. That's not literal. And I asked him to read Sunan Abu Dawud, verse 39:91. And he read it and it says, Abu Dahr said, I was sitting behind the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, who was riding a donkey while the sun was setting. He asked, do you know where this sets? Muhammad asked this man, do you know where the sun sets? And I replied, Allah has, and his apostle knows. So Allah knows and you know, Apostle Muhammad. And he said, Muhammad said, it sets in a spring of warm water. So Muhammad said that, yes, it sets in a spring of hot water. So it's not figurative, it's literal. So Quran has a lot of scientific mistakes. This is one of them that says that sun sets in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. Muhammad claimed that he is a prophet sent by Allah, and people said, if you are a prophet, tell us where sun sets every afternoon. And Muhammad guessed wrong, and so this proves that Quran is a false book.
And there's many, many more examples like that.
Yes, and Islam is a false religion, and Allah is a false God, and Muhammad is a false prophet, because true God knows that sun is a million times greater than earth, and it's impossible for sun to set in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. The true God would not make that mistake. So there are many examples, many mistakes in the Quran that I'm not going to cover everything, but you can go to my website called besharat.tv/English. You can get more mistakes there.
And let me just give that website again. That's besharat.tv, and that's spelled B-E-S-H-A-R-A-T, besharat.tv, then a slash, and put in the word English. And you'll find many of these errors. As a matter of fact, these are all downloadable through his website there for more information on it. But many errors that are in the Quran. So that's one of the things that you point out first, is errors that are in the Quran itself.
That challenges Muslim, because I grew up believing in the Quran and following Islam and practice it until I went to Sydney, Australia, and this pastor challenged me with these mistakes in the Quran. So I read the Quran with understanding, and I realized that there are many issues there. So I was challenged, and I realized that it's not a book that God sent. And then second step is, are Jehovah and Allah the same God?
Oh, we're told that all the time. We hear that all the time, that Allah, Jehovah, God, we all worship the same God.
We do not worship the same God. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And no Muslim would say that we worship Jesus Christ. They won't worship Jesus Christ. So they worship Allah. So who is Allah then? If Allah is not the true God, Who is Allah? Well, Abdul Muttalib, who was the grandfather of Muhammad, he was an idol worshipper. He worshipped 360 idols in Kaaba. And one of his favorite idols was Allah. And when his son was born, his son Abdullah, who was the father of Muhammad, so he wanted to find a name for his son. He said, I know what I'm going to name my son after. He said, I'm going to name my son after my favorite idol, Allah. So he called him Abdullah. Abd means slave. Allah was his idol. So a slave of Allah. He wanted to make his son to be slave or servant of his idol, Allah, to serve Allah in Kaaba. And so that proves that Allah was an idol even before Islam was founded. It was an idol, not a true God, because the true God's name is not Allah. So Muhammad was born and he came and he claimed that he's a prophet sent by Allah, and he called his God's name Allah again, the same name, the name of an idol. And that proves that Allah was an idol. The true God, the name of the God of the Bible is Jehovah or Yahweh. That is mentioned about 4,800 times, almost 5,000 times in the Bible. He said, I am the Lord Jehovah, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said that men may know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah are the most high over the earth. In Psalm 83, verse 18, his name alone is Jehovah, not Allah. And all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord, that's Jehovah, made the heavens. Psalm 96, verse 5. And also, you see the symbol of crescent moon on top of Sunni mosque. You see crescent moon on most Islamic flags. And in Ramadan, they see the moon and they start fasting and breaking their fasting after 1 month by moon. The crescent moon is symbol of Islam. You go to Islamic website, you see crescent moon everywhere. Why is that? Because, in about 600 BC, Nabonidus, who was one of the last kings of Babylon, in Babylon they worshipped the moon god, and they called it Hubal, the moon god. And Nabonidus introduced this moon worship religion to Saudi Arabia in 600 BC. So Arabs started to worship the moon as well. And they called it Sin. And also some people called it Allah. So it was like moon worship, the religion of worshipping a moon, that Saudi Arabia and people started worshipping the moon god. And that's why we have the symbol of crescent moon on top of Sunni mosque. And that goes back to that pre-Islamic Arabs who worshipped the moon god, which was also later on Abdul Muttalib, his Muhammad's grandfather, made an idol, called him Allah, the moon god.
Sure.
So it's not a true god, it's a moon god.
Okay, so we've established the errors in the Quran. We've established that the Allah in Islam, Jehovah God, are not one and the same. What's also important?
Well, Allah, the meaning of Allah, if you look at dictionary, Hebrew and Chaldeans dictionary, Allah in Hebrew, it's got two meanings. The first meaning is to lament, to bewail, like to cry. Another one is curse, cursing. And that's why a lot of Muslims, they cry. They go to mosque, they don't sing unto the Lord, they don't praise. What they do is to cry, to shed tears. From each drop of tear, Allah promises a land in heaven. And then their countries are cursed. Look at Syria, it's cursed. Look at Iran, what's happening last 2-3 weeks in Iran. It's been cursed. And Lebanon and Afghanistan and Libya and so many Islamic countries are cursed. Why? Because they worship a cursed God called Allah. And blessed are the nations whose God is the Lord. So if you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. And so we move on to next step, step three. Step three is the comparison. Allah, Satan, and Jehovah compared. We compared these three, Allah, Satan, and Jehovah from the Quran and also from the Bible. So we need to examine to see what Allah teaches with what Jehovah teaches. Well, Allah says in Quran chapter 47 and verse 4, it says Muslims should strike off the heads of unbelievers. You have to strike off the heads of unbelievers. Allah is a murderer. What about Satan? The devil was a murderer from the beginning, John 8, verse 44. So Allah and Satan, both of them are murderers. But what about Jehovah? No murderer has eternal life, 1 John 3, verse 15. And Jesus said in Matthew 5, 44, love your enemies. You see, Jesus teaches that you have to love your enemies. Allah teaches that you have to strike the heads of unbelievers. That means your enemies, you have to kill them, cut their heads off. That's what ISIS does, and they take the heads of Christians and non-Muslims. Why? Because they take this literally and they obey the commandment of Allah in chapter 47, verse 4, and therefore they kill, they cut the heads of unbelievers. And Allah is a liar. Allah misleads whom he will. Chapter 13, verse 27. Well, what about the devil? The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And what about God of the Bible? God that cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2. In Hebrews 6, 18, impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He doesn't tell lie. He's the God of truth. But Allah is a liar. Allah doesn't love unbelievers. If you're not a Muslim, Allah doesn't love you. In chapter 30, verse 45. And Satan, same thing. Satan hates people, unbelievers. But God of the Bible, we read in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God of the Bible loves all people. Allah doesn't love unbelievers. Are they the same? I don't see that. There is no similarity between Allah and Jehovah. There is very similarity between Allah and Satan. You see, when Muslims bow down five times a day, they actually worship Satan because Allah has same attributes of Satan. Satan is a liar, Allah is a liar. Satan is a murderer, Allah is a murderer. Satan hates people, Allah hates people. And Allah hates Jews, Allah hates Christians. God of the Bible loves Christians and Jews. Jews are the peculiar nation and chosen nation. God loves them. Allah hates Jesus to be the Son of God. And Father loves the Son. In John chapter 3, verse 35, we read, Allah slave girls whom Allah has given you as booty. Chapter 33, verse 50. Slave girls whom Allah has given you as booty. Girls in Islam are just booty, like sex slave, that you can rape them. But God of the Bible gives liberty to the captives. God of the Bible is so different. And Allah wants people actually to go to hell. In chapter 11 of Quran, verse 119, and chapter 32, verse 13, I will fill hell with mankind. Wow. This is Allah.
And certainly Jesus Christ paid the price to keep us from going to hell. Yeah. We're going to pick up with just a little bit more discussion here. Michael Gurmi is our guest today on Crosstalk, talking about how to win Muslims to Christ. We'll be back in 1 minute.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on 2 CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Michael Girmay is our guest today. He is a former Iranian Muslim and talking with us today how to win Muslims to Christ and going through some various steps. They go through much more detail, and it's downloadable off his website. And again, let me give you the website where you can check it out. It's besharat.tv/English, and that's besharat.tv/English. We'll be sure to have that as part of our write-up on our Crosstalk website here today, too, that you'll be able to go directly to it. So as we're looking through how to win Muslims to Christ, it's pointing out that there is and are multiple errors and contradictions in the Quran. We also find that the God of Islam, Allah, and the God of the Bible, Jehovah, are not one and the same, and then do some of the comparison. Michael, what's the next step in the process?
The step four is, how can Jesus Christ be the Son of God? Which is a major issue in Islam, because they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe in a triune God. They believe in monotheistic God called Allah. So I teach them the meaning of son. In Greek, there are two words for son. The first one is technon, means the physical son. And the second word for son is huvias, means same nature as. For example, son of peace. John is a son of peace. That means John has a peaceful nature. Or Hitler is son of war. That means his nature is he wants to fight. So this word is used for Jesus as the Son of God, who we are, same nature as. For example, God is the only one who can raise a people from the dead, and Jesus raised people from the dead. God is the only one who can forgive sinners, and Jesus said, my son, thy sins be forgiven thee, and he forgave sinners. God is the only one who can overcome the physical laws and everything. Jesus did all miracles, and he proved that he was the Son of God, second person of Trinity. And God made man in his image. We read that in Genesis 1:26, and that man is made of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And God is, in Godhead, we have three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's the next step. We teach them that Jesus is not physical son, but he is the same nature as God, second person of Trinity. And the next step is number five, God the Son in the Old Testament. We teach them how Jesus appears to many prophets in the Old Testament as God, and people saw God, like Moses saw God face to face in Mount of Sinai, and Abraham saw God, and so many, Isaiah saw the Lord, and he said, my eyes have seen the Lord, the King of King, and so he saw the Lord, many people. So we share these verses from the Old Testament and to prove that Jesus is not just a man. He existed even before he was born in Bethlehem, so because he's the Almighty God. And then last step is the stop tract, just the gospel tract, which has 4 points. The number one is about sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two is the punishment for sin, which is hell, lake of fire. And number three, Jesus took all our punishment. He paid the penalty of our sins. And number four, what do we have to do to be saved from hell? That we have to believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, died for our sins in our place, and rose again bodily from the dead. And we have to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And by doing that, God has promised to give us eternal life and to save us from hell and to take us to heaven when we die. So that's a presentation. When we go through these 6 steps, and many of them, they say that it makes sense. That makes sense. And they, so many Muslims are blinded. They're religious. They'll reject you. But there are still Muslims who are seeking the truth. And when you go through these steps and it makes sense, and they reject Islam totally and they come to Christ.
Yeah, because they have been so deceived by Islam that when you begin, even with that first step, pointing out there's errors, there's contradictions here in the Quran itself. It is not been something that's been preserved. It's something that's not true. They begin questioning in their minds, and even as to what they have been taught as being truthful, it's not truthful.
Yes, and in fact, as you mentioned that mistakes in the Quran, and then you compare the teachings of the Quran with the Bible, it's like black and white.
Yeah,
they can tell that this is not the same. Allah and the God of the Bible is not that they're not the same. They're totally different. Their teachings are different.
Yeah. So this stop track that you mentioned, where you go through those points, all have sinned, and there's subpoints under that: punishment of sin is death, Jesus took our punishment, and then the believing aspect, that is also available on your website, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and folks, you can download that, the stop track, right from the website of our guest today, is really to stop and think, where will you spend eternity? That's the purpose of the stop track. And then also on the site is how then to lead that person to Christ. And one of the things that people struggle with is, how do I even start a conversation? How do I just even introduce the subject with somebody that I meet who is Muslim?
The first question that I ask from Muslim is that sun, example of sun in setting in his spring up like Mariat water. I tell them, you know, the sun in the sky.
Yeah.
I don't show them Quran. I don't give them anything. I ask them question. You know, the sun in the sky. Do you believe that sun sets in a spring up like Mariat water?
Mm.
And they would say no. And I give them this verse from the Quran. Would you read this Quran? And they read it, and they can see that there is an issue there.
They start questioning.
That's how I start conversation with Muslims, and I challenge them with comparison. And I tell them who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, the Trinity. I teach them. And at the end, I share the gospel that this second person of Trinity, in fact, he came as a man. He died on the cross for your sins. He paid the penalty of your sins. He is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So either he told lie or he told the truth. And in fact, a liar cannot raise people from the dead or forgive sinners or do many miracles. Jesus, he was truth, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And so you challenge them, and they have to make decision.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines today here in Crosstalk. Maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask Michael, maybe something you've encountered and would like some help or guidance on, or as we talk about winning Muslims to Christ, certainly the harvest is white, and it's white unto harvest. And our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We'll take your questions for our guest here today, and there is much more than what we've talked about, but it is available through his website that you're able to download or make copies of it or find somebody who's able to do that for you. Again, that's besharat.tv/English, besharat.tv/English. If you've got a question about witnessing to Muslims today, pick up your phone, give us a call. Our number is 800-733-9829. We've got some lines available, 800-733-9829. Certainly, we can talk about the advancement that Islam is making across the globe and here in the United States. But friends, we need to see them brought to Christ. And that's what your heart's burden is, Michael, is to see Muslims come to saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, friends, we're going to take your calls here today, and our number again, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Maysville, Kentucky. We have Lloyd calling. Lloyd, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I had a phone call the other day, and when I answered it, it was a gentleman. When I told him about the Lord Jesus Christ, he proceeded to tell me that Allah has no son, that Jesus was merely a prophet, and I told him that that's certainly not the case, that God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Allah is a demon spirit impersonating a God. Could you speak to that, please?
Thank you for the call, Lloyd.
Well, yes, Quran teaches that Allah doesn't have a son. So Muhammad said Allah doesn't have a son. But we have so many prophets in the Old Testament, and they prophesied, and they told us that God has a son. You know, Solomon in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, he said, who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? And who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? And obviously, this is a question that answer is obvious. That means God has established the end of the earth. Mm-hmm. And it says, what is his name and what is his son's name? if thou canst tell. Mm-hmm. So Solomon, about 950 BC, he said that God has a son, and not physical son, as I mentioned, that's who we are, the same nature, the second person of Trinity. And David said in Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the son, lest he be angry. He said that God has a son, and he's going to come back one day, second coming of Christ. When he comes back, you have to kiss him, worship him, and if you reject him, he's going to be angry. He's going to come to judge the world.
And so that theme of the son flows all throughout Scripture itself.
Daniel said, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
So if Allah had no son, then he cannot be God.
No. And Micah said that, you know, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Mm-hmm. You see Micah, Isaiah, and Daniel, and David, and Solomon, so many prophets in the Old Testament, they prophesied, they said that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah. Actually, the Son of God is everlasting, the Mighty God, God Himself. So would you listen to the testimony of 30, 40 witnesses, or testimony of Muhammad, who had no witness? Would you listen to one person, one witness, or to 40 different witnesses?
And that's what we have in the Scriptures, many witnesses.
Sure.
Wow. Thank you, Lloyd. Oh, we got Jean next in Pensacola. You're on the air, Jean.
Yes. So one of my points to make with Muslims is that early in the Quran, Muhammad says there should be no compulsion in faith. And that is the truth. And truth does not change. But later on, compulsion comes. So that is definitely a contradiction. God gives us free will. Otherwise, he would not be able to judge us.
Thank you for the call. Is there compulsion in Islam?
Well, Quran has two parts, Surah Makki and Surah Madani. Well, when he was in Mecca, Muhammad was very peaceful. He started with loving messages. He preached that Allah is most merciful because he didn't have enough power, and very few people followed him. And he said that there's no compulsion in Islam. You can choose whatever religion you want to believe in. But when he went to Medina and he gained some power, he killed so many people, his army grew in numbers, and he started to destroy countries. Then his message changed to very violent. And he said, if anybody converts from Islam to other religion, you have to take their lives and you have to kill them. So you see, there's contradiction because he gained a lot of power. That proves that Muhammad was not a prophet from God because there's contradiction in his teachings.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And thank you for the call here today. And certainly that call for whosoever believes. God does not have us as robots to force us to believe on him. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Michael Gurmey is our guest. And if you missed writing down the website, we'll be sure to give that in our final segment here as well, because there's teaching videos there and there's instruction on so many of the issues that we've talked about today. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. There is indeed an information warfare going on in the United States of America to change the worldview and the values and the conduct of Americans. This is being done in many ways. One is to take American values and make them un-American, to define them as being hateful, racist, bigoted. There was a time when all Americans, regardless of race, color, creed, or political affiliation, would agree on set American values. We agreed there were certain values that were absolutely necessary to maintain our constitutional republic. Those values must be destroyed in the hearts and minds of Americans if our constitutional republic is to be destroyed. Thus, American values are now being redefined as conservative values, Christian values, racist values. This is how you destroy a nation. Remove its values from the common playing field.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, How to Win Muslims to Christ. Our topic today with Michael Girmay. He was lost following Islam, following Allah, born in Iran in a Shia Muslim family, but came to faith in Jesus Christ. Again, his testimony we aired on Crosstalk April 30th, 2019, and you can go back and listen to that at crosstalkamerica.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Michelle calling in from Ohio. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air with Michael Girmay.
Hi there. How are you guys? I just wanted, you know, I'm listening, and actually I felt a little bit convicted because I've always wanted to witness to everyone because all come short, just like you said, and they all need salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, God tells us to use wisdom, and then he says, you know, the word also says, I mean, you got to do a lot more studying than just taking one scripture. So then he says, you know, that there's certain people that have just rejected him. So my question, with all of that said as a background, is how do you be safe about that? Because they'll slit your throat. And even here in, you know, America, we've got some places where it's against the law to pass out a gospel tract, such as Dearborn, Michigan, and a few other places. So how do you be safe in witnessing to Muslims?
Well, I believe that God is my shield, and he is my protector, and when it's a time for me to leave this place and go to be with the Lord in home, so I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So my life is in God's hand, and there's danger everywhere in Islamic country or right in here in America.
Yeah, indeed. And then we can have that just driving down the road today, and there's danger all around us. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we pray to God, and that's why we talked early on in our interview today about the importance of prayer. Yes, in a spiritual battle. And praying always. I mean, that is not just a suggestion to us. Mm. That is something that we need to follow in our lives. Thank you, Michelle, for the call. Let's go to Maxine next from Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just had a question. What do we say to our children and grandchildren when they're being taught that we are to love the Muslims and they're just peace? I understand we have a Muslim exchange student here in Prairie du Chien in the public school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, you agree, Michael, we do need to love Muslims.
Absolutely.
But you would disagree that Islam means peace.
Yes.
So it would be that of, indeed, I mean, we are called to love one another, but we also will point out that the pathway, the teachings that are taught in Islam is a way of error. It's not truth. It's deception.
Sure. We need to teach our children that, yes, we have to love Muslims, but we need to educate them that the teachings of Islam is not what we have from the Lord, from God. It's contrary to the teachings of the Bible. So we need to educate them, give them some examples how Allah, you know, Quran promotes violence so that they can be alert, not to be deceived. Otherwise, they might just end up converting to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Great. Thank you for the call. And again, you'll find helpful information on Michael's website, and we'll be giving that here momentarily as well. Let's go one last call today. This one is from Mobile, Alabama. Mary, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm prefacing what I'm going to say by saying, yes, I do believe that we need to pray for Muslims, that their eyes will be open, and God will, through miracles, let a lot of them see their error of way. But here's the statement I've made, and I still hold true to it. Every mosque that is built in America is a training ground for terrorists. And you see it, they start with below kindergarten, teaching those children what to do, what to say, how to act, how to hate us. And yet, I know with the love of God in our heart, we still have to pray for them. But they are evil when they are in their, religion, when they're in their belief.
Okay, Mary, since we only have a couple minutes left, thank you I think we got the gist of your question here. Your response to her, Michael.
Okay, that's a good question. And I've got a suggestion. Well, we can write a resolution a letter to say that if those Muslims are going to teach violence and teachings of the Quran that teaches, you know, that you have to kill infidels, if they teach that, they have to close down their mosque. But if they don't teach it and they don't kill these Christians, or then they are allowed to worship. And if and you have to give it to Muslims to sign it. If they didn't sign it, that means they agree that they want to follow Allah and His teachings to kill Americans and infidels. That means they have no right to build mosque, and they have to live and not to worship.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because if one really follows Islam as it is in the Quran, following the Hadith, it's diametrically opposed to our belief system here in the United States. It's diametrically opposed even to our Constitution, our founding documents.
Yes, Congress has to pass this law to, you know, give this resolution to Muslims, and if they don't sign it, then they have no right to build mosque. Mm. If they sign it, that means they're not going to promote violence.
Except there's something called taqiyya.
Taqiyya, yes.
Which is, it's okay to lie or deceive for the purposes of advancing
Islam.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So, again, thank you for the call, but I believe, as Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And one does need to walk with wisdom, even in these areas, but not to go about with that spirit of fear. I think it's important that we recognize that all people are individuals for whom Christ died, and that they need to hear the message of truth. Where would you be today, Michael, if somebody didn't care enough to love you to share the truth?
Sure, I would have no hope, and thank God for somebody who shared that love of Jesus Christ with me, and I was able to know the truth and to know who Jesus Christ is, and He's a loving God. I'm telling you, He died on the cross, and He proved that He loves us, and so we need to share that love of Jesus Christ with others, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us here today, Michael.
Thank you.
Again, folks, the website you can go to, you've got many things to download, videos on this topic. It is besharet.tv/English, and that's spelled BESHARAT.TV. And put a slash in there in the word English, and you'll find a lot of materials, videos there to download. You'll find that stop track and other information there as well. And be praying, Lord, open their hearts, open their minds, and to the truth of your word. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.